Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Nancy Picard. Nancy is a certified integrated life coach, national speaker, and frequent guest on TV and radio programs. She offers tips and advice on how to be more creative and have more fulfillment in your life by thinking out of the box in her new book, Bigger, Better, Braver. Conquer your fears, embrace your courage, and transform your life. And never has there been a better time for Nancy to fill her mission to empower and uplift everyone out there. She's done some amazing things with her life. She's going to tell us a little bit about that and also a lot about the book. But the purpose of the book is really to help you in some really positive ways overcome any fears or anything that's holding you back. And as I said earlier, it's so timely for it to come along at this point in all of our lives. Nancy, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Nancy, first of all, for those that haven't had the opportunity to meet you, can you tell us a little bit about your life? Because you've had some really exciting twists and turns and have looked at them as opportunities for tremendous growth and excitement. So tell us just a little bit about what brought you to your passion and purpose.
Well, I've actually been helping others. It's part of who I am. I used to own a personal training gym, so helping others become empowered physically, and now that's what I'm doing emotionally, has been my path, even if I didn't know where it was going to lead. I was married for 26 years, very happily married, and then my life imploded. And at that time, I didn't really have the tools that I have now, so I was the victim in my story for a really long time. It took me a lot of work on myself to actually move beyond that. And so that's what I want to bring to other people. I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life. I've lost 3 pregnancies late in my pregnancy. I've had cancer. I've had a divorce. And yet here I stand living a bigger, better, braver life on a daily basis. So I walk my talk and I talk my walk, and that's what I want to bring to other people.
That is so wonderful. It's so empowering, your life that you've lived. There's such a sense of empowerment for people just by looking, as you say, as the path that you've taken in your journey. So your book is entitled Bigger, Better, Braver. What does that mean to live that way?
Bigger, Better, Braver is a mantra. It's actually a mindset so that you learn to step out of your comfort zone. You learn to get comfortable with being uncomfortable so that you can actually grow and get quiet enough to listen to that inner voice that knows that it wants more for your life, which is what I would say a bigger life, and that makes it a better life. And the way to get there is to embrace being brave. So when you put them together, bigger, better, braver, it's having a courage mindset, stepping outside the comfort zone so that you can actually grow to have the life that you were put on this earth to have.
That is, again, so very empowering. What tips do you have for riding the roller coaster that we're going through now with COVID-19? How do you navigate fear and anxiety in the midst of this pandemic? And what would be your advice for helping others to do that?
The first thing I would say is that don't make your feelings wrong. On every given day, you are on this roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes you can handle everything. Sometimes you're depressed. sometimes just the littlest thing can set you off because you've already got COVID. There's like this underlying anxiety that's always there. So something new kind of feels like it's too much. So be curious how you handle your emotions. Also, our thoughts become our reality. So where you put your thoughts, if you're looking at what's wrong, you get more of what's wrong. If you can look for what's right, because there's a lot of right that happens during COVID. There are a lot of things that have happened to all of us that are positive. We might be spending more time with loved ones. We might be communicating on Zoom and FaceTime in ways with our extended families that we hadn't been doing. For me personally, it was a chance for me to get creative, to think outside the box, to use my book as a stepping stone in a way that I would not, you know, I was supposed to be on this big book tour in cities all over the place right now in bookstores, and that's not happening. So I had to actually reinvent the way I was going to do it. I had a launch instead of in a bookstore in the city that I live or in other cities that maybe would have gotten 25 or 30 people. I did a Zoom launch. I had over 200 people sign up for it. So there are ways, if we can get out of the looking at COVID as an excuse for not living a bigger, better life, we can actually pivot and take this as an opportunity to reinvent ourselves, to look at how we can do things differently. It's really all out there, and it's on us to take responsibility for how we move through it and with it.
Yeah, personal responsibility is such an important thing. And you talked a little bit a minute ago about excuses. How do you move beyond those, especially during this pandemic?
Our excuses are really what keep us stuck, and they're tricky because there's always some bit of truth in them. Let's just take an example. When we could travel, I might have a client that says, well, I would love to travel, but I can't afford to. And yet there's some truth in that. But if they actually started to put away a little money every single week or every single month, eventually they would be able to take that big trip. But because they don't plan for it and they live in the excuse of I don't have enough money, that never becomes a reality for them. So unless physically can't get to something, everything else is an excuse that we give into. And basically our excuses have an underlining fear. So if we can uncover the fear, then we can look at it. Okay, so we have this fear. Well, what's the likelihood that the worst case scenario is ever going to happen? And then if that worst case scenario does happen, what will we do? So when you actually can say, okay, so if I lose my job, that's my worst case scenario, what will I do? Well, A, I'll try to get another job. B, I may have to ask for help for a little while from friends or family, but I'll survive. I won't be homeless. And then see, well, what's the likelihood that that worst-case scenario will ever happen? Well, let's say the likelihood is 5%, and you've also figured out that it's not the worst-case scenario. You still will have a plan that you will survive. When you start to uncover it, you can adjust those fears, make peace with them, have faith that the universe is supporting you, and take that fear by the hand and move forward anyway. That's my advice.
Well, that's beautiful, and you've certainly done that. You climbed Kilimanjaro at age 61. You went through divorce, so you had matters of the heart. You went through health crisis. It's one of the ones that I think people are really fearful of, in addition to COVID, is cancer. And you were able to overcome the fears of all of that and just create an amazing life where you're helping others overcome fears and become bigger and better in what they're doing with their lives. You mentioned something about taking responsibility, and I think it's really important that you become a real conscious observer of your own behavior rather than just a reactor in order to do that. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so when you're the reactor in your life, something happens, you get triggered, and you react. There's like a gut reaction that happens. And actually what's happening is that when you get triggered, it's really your inner wounded child that is getting hurt. It's like somebody did something and there's that wound that hasn't healed inside of you that gets like sparked. And so when you react, it's usually in a childish way because it's your wounded child that got triggered. But when you can step back and not react to that first thought, but be the observer of it, oh, wow, that person just really, I feel really disrespected, or they really hurt my feelings. And when you can think about it and you can see, well, what did they just trigger in me? Like, what's the quality of that person that I'm being upset by? Or what did they trigger in me? And was that their intent? When you start to diagnose what happened, you actually are now one step away from the person who's having it. So it's not as loaded. The drama doesn't feel as strong. And then you can make a different reaction. So there's the event, and that there could be a really good chance that nothing about that event did you cause it, but the event happens. That may not be your responsibility. And then there's your response or your reaction. And that's 100% your responsibility. And how you respond affects the outcome. So you've got the event plus the reaction equals the outcome. And if you want a different outcome, you have to have a different reaction. And so when you become the observer, you get an opportunity to respond differently.
That is so powerful, really powerful. And it's very empowering once again. You talk to the idea of a courage mindset, and you certainly have a courage mindset in living your own life. But how does one develop that? Tell us more about that.
I've actually become really comfortable with being uncomfortable. I push myself. It's almost like I get an adrenaline rush for knowing that I'm growing, for knowing that this is going to be a little scary, but I can do scary. I can do hard things. And then when I do it and I'm successful, that sets me up for the very next time. And it's a way to really increasing your self-love and your self-trust in yourself. You have to push past the confines of your own comfort zone. And it's actually a combination of how much faith you have that the universe is supporting you. Like, I have a really deep faith that everything happens for a reason. There are no coincidences. And so when something happens, it's supposed to happen. It's for the evolution of my soul. And I use my failures or my bumps or my dramas as stepping stones, as learning tools, that there are gifts and there are lessons along the way, and I'm supposed to learn from them. My divorce, I learned so much. My cancer, I learned so much. I mean, I overexercised to the point that my immune system was weak, and this was like the universe saying to me, slow down, do less. Don't do 3 hours a day of exercise. It's all a lesson if we can look at life that way. So then we take responsibility for our actions because we're using our own life as our own personal laboratory to see what we need to do, what the universe is trying to tell us, and then moving with courage that everything is going to happen for a reason. If I fail, well, there's a lot of learning in that, and that's okay. I'm going to pick myself up. It's not that we fall. It's how long we stay down, and that's on us.
Yeah, it's our own responsibility. And, you know, something that I found really interesting is you have a suggestion that people find acceptance and surrender to what is. And that sounds somewhat counterintuitive to building a bigger, better, braver life. How do you reconcile those two concepts?
Well, I think that people have a misunderstanding of what it means to be in acceptance and surrender. I see acceptance as the opposite of resistance. So when something happens, you break up, you get an illness, you lose your job. If you spend your time and energy being in resistance to the reality of the situation, you can't move forward. It's like the salmon, you're going against the flow instead of with the flow. But when you can accept, okay, I didn't want to get a divorce. I'm heartbroken. I didn't want to lose my job. I'm afraid. But this is my reality. This is where I am today. And you accept it and you surrender to what is. That's the starting point. Now you're going with the flow. You can use your energy to creatively figure out a way to move out of where you are instead of wasting all your energy just being stuck in the resistance of what is.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really beautiful. So what's the difference between a person's vision for their life and actually taking an action step in the process?
So the vision is inside of us. It needs to be uncovered, but it's there. Our heart, our inner wisdom, our soul knows what we need to dance, what we need to be passionate. So the vision is the big picture. It's the feel good. The action steps and the goals are what you have to do to get to the vision. So I think about the vision as like a big target and you've got a bow and an arrow. And if you pull back that arrow and you shoot it directly to the target, that's where you want to go. You want all of your action steps and all of your goals to be in perfect alignment with where you're going to get to that vision. And when you step off of that line, you're going away from your vision. So if you can stay in integrity with what you think you want, you're going to get there, whether there's a lot of missteps or not. They're all stepping stones to get you to that vision. And your action steps are how you get there. Your action steps may not feel good. My vision may be to have a healthy, beautiful body that I love. And my goal might be that I want to be able to run a marathon, or my goal might be that I want to lose 10 pounds. And then my action steps might be I'm going to run 1 mile 3 times a week for the next 6 months. That's an action step. It's specific. It's measurable. It's achievable. It's realistic. And it's time-based. My action step to lose 10 pounds might be I'm going to do intermittent fasting, and I'm only going to eat between the hours of 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. It's specific, it's measurable, it's achievable, it's realistic, and it's time-based. And if I stay in integrity with what I tell myself I'm going to do, I will eventually get there.
That is so helpful. Being able to distinguish that is really helpful. And another thing that you discuss in your book is distinguishing between our soul's vision and our ego's vision. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like and how we can make that choice.
Our ego's vision is what we think people want for us, what we think society wants for us, what we grew up thinking we needed to do to get people's approval, what we thought we needed. But our soul's vision is what's inside of us. And it may not look anything like our ego's vision. So what I do with my clients is I take them through a meditation so that they can get quiet enough to actually get answers that they don't even know they have because they're in their subconscious. And when they uncover that vision, that's what they really want. Without all the outside noise, that's actually the vision that will bring them the truest happiness. And that's what I try to get my clients to uncover and then move towards. And sometimes it's very surprising.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Especially in these days, we often see ourselves through the relationships that we form with lovers, family, or kids. Is that unhealthy, especially in a time like this when things have so radically changed and people are living more closely than they have in the past? Tell us a little bit about that, if it's healthy or not, and why it might be important to work on ourselves and establish our own self-worth, especially in a time like this when we can be so spread out and really diluted of self-care and self-attention.
I think one of the issues is that we all grow up being other-referred instead of self-referred. So we see ourselves through the eyes of other people. I was married 26 years, and I saw myself through through the eyes of my ex-husband. So when he stopped wanting me, which actually had very little to do with me and an awful lot about what he was going through, but when he didn't want me anymore, I didn't want me anymore. If he found me in his eyes of not being enough, then I saw myself as not being enough. And, I mean, he ended up dating people 2 years older and marrying somebody 2 years older than my sons. And so I was a lot of things, but I couldn't be 29 years younger than I was. I should have not let that be about me, but I couldn't help it because I had kind of banked on how he saw me all those years. So now I have my own self-love and my own self-trust and my own worthiness that I've learned to rely on. Nobody's beliefs out there can affect how I feel about myself because I live my life in integrity of what I say I'm going to do and who I am, and it's unshakable. We're so busy doing people-pleasing and doing what others want for us and what we think others want for us or what we should be doing, we become selfless. And when you become selfless, you become invisible. The work is to be self-referred. Trust yourself. Stay in alignment with what you say you're going to do and follow through. And little by little, step by step, you're going to learn to love yourself more, to rely on yourself more, and to care a lot less about what others think about you because you now know who you are. That's the goal.
Yeah, and that's the rewards of living in a life of integrity and being authentic about yourself. That's really beautiful, Nancy. So tell us a little bit about how the book came about, why you were inspired to turn your story into a book. I personally feel that everyone has a story in them and they need to get it out in the world. It's the biggest driver in my life is to help people do that. So I'd love to hear about what that looked like for you.
When I was turning 60 and I decided to climb Kilimanjaro, it was because I wanted to do something that was going to mark my 60th birthday and let me know that I still had it going on. You know, I could still do big things. I could step outside my comfort zone. And so my original plan was just to write a book on how women over 60 could climb Kilimanjaro because there weren't a lot of books out about that. And I was going to throw in some of my own coaching experiences along the way. And then another fellow coach who's written many books said, no, that's not what you want to do. You want to write a book about what's your Kilimanjaro so that other people can get an opportunity to figure out what do they want in their life so that they can live a bigger life. My book was originally going to be called What's Your Kilimanjaro? And then we decided, well, only people who want to climb Kilimanjaro will even, like, look at that book. So it evolved over time to be bigger, better, braver. I mean, that was a definite download for me from the universe because I had no idea what my title was going to be. But it became a total process of how to help other people. So I used my own life and that of my clients to actually do this week-by-week process of how to get out of autopilot and uncover your excuses and your fears and move from resistance to acceptance and make a plan and stick to it and do all of the things that you needed to do to finally take your own leap to a bigger, better, braver life.
Well, you certainly have done that. And the book is filled with just golden words of wisdom. But if you could choose one golden nugget that we could take away from the book as readers, what would that be?
Well, I think that everybody has a bigger, better life waiting for them. And it's totally your responsibility to make that happen because you're the only one that can make it happen. And you 100% can make it happen.
And Nancy, if you were to look at your life and the way you're helping people and the big contributions you're making for yourself and for others, and now especially the book that's gone bestseller and people are reading it all over the world, if you were to look at that almost like a legacy from the standpoint of how it might impact the world, what would you like to see there? What would that mean for you?
I think that I'm really excited about where it went to and where it's going. And I hope that it will help people wake up to their inner desires, uncover their disempowering beliefs that are sabotaging them, and help them live a bigger, better, braver life. It's waiting for them.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And your brand new bestseller is waiting for everyone at Amazon. Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life. But if people wanted to tap into more of your wisdom and connect with you on the web, do you have a website they could go to?
NancyPicardLifeCoach.com. So it's Picard is P-I-C-K-A-R-D. So it's NancyPicardLifeCoach.com, and I do one-on-one coaching, and I do group coaching, and I have a Bigger, Better, Braver course that is just coming out that people can do on their own or in a group. So there's many opportunities for everybody.
That is so wonderful, and thank you so much, Nancy, for the generosity of your time and all the wonderful things that you're doing in the world. We really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K, M-Y-B-I-Z.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.